Yeah, amazing how church has changed in the last, 4 months or so? Yeah. Church is quite different today as to what it was, say, Christmas. Yeah? New website. You can Zoom in. You can listen to, talks, Bible studies, everything. Sermons, the lot. Church is changing, church is growing. If you listen to the radio and the Christian reports, I'm getting a bit echoey, am I standing too far in front? The church is growing online. People are discovering Jesus because churches have been forced to go online. Isn't it amazing how God works? How God allows a virus to grow his church. Who would have thought that? God can use anything, can't he? Not just anything, anyone. Is it too echoey? Do you want me to go back to the... If it gets too much, let me know and I'll change microphones. No worries. Well, let's just open in a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you for this time that we can be here this morning. Thank you that we can have our church open again. The place where we come together and worship is once again open for people to enter. For people who are curious to come in. Thank you for these crazy COVID times. But Lord, we just ask now that you would quieten our hearts. Allow us to have spiritual eyes and ears to hear what you have to say. To see your word the way you want us to see it. Please, Lord, as we prepare our hearts, may we be open to you, that you would speak into our hearts and change us forever to become more and more like you. Amen. Question: how are we doing as a church? Okay, if Jesus came in and walked in the door here now and did a health audit, what would he say? Question: are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? What about, how does the world see us? Are you walking in the Spirit? Well, how about we just take a spiritual checkup this morning? I mean, look, sick people go to a doctor for a health check, don't they? Well, as Christians, we need to have our spiritual checkup. At least once a day, preferably more. In Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also what? Walk by the Spirit. Well, how do you walk by the Spirit? I think he's just entered the building. Well, you could try what some people call spiritual breathing, which is like physical breathing. You spiritually exhale. That's where you get rid of all the bad, the impure, the sinful things. And spiritually inhaling is filling your life with all the wonderful, pure things of God. And so that's a spiritual exercise in faith, and one that you will find and experience more of God's love. What about Galatians 5:16? Paul, what does he tell us to do? To walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if you're not walking in the Spirit, you will satisfy the desires of the flesh or your heart, whatever way, finding comfort and satisfaction in fulfilling the worldly pleasures that are before us. James 4:7 reminds us to submit ourselves to God. Resist who? The devil. And what will he do? He will flee. You don't have to do anything. Just have to say no. Resist. Don't have to have some army behind us. Just resist. What a promise. And I hope you claim that every day. Okay, today I want us to look at Romans chapter 8. So if you've got a Bible, we're not going to read all of chapter 8. I'm going to pick out some verses and skip a few from chapter 8, starting at verse 1 and down to verse 26. So starting at 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free, free from the law of sin and the law of death. Down to verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We jump down to verse 12. So then, brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And finally down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what you already have and what you see? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Amen. So today, I want us just to have a look at a few points from these wonderful verses that can help keep us walking in the Spirit. The first one comes from Romans 8, verse 5. This is where we focus our thoughts on spiritual things. Verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Focus our thoughts on spiritual things. We need to allow God's Spirit within us to direct our thoughts. How do we do this? We can study God's Word. We've got Bibles there. We could do a daily devotional. We could attend a weekly Bible study, probably online these days. And we could pray throughout the day. We could read good Christian books. And I'm sure there's probably many more you could add. But we need to try and focus our thoughts on what God wants us to focus on spiritual things. And one, the next point that we probably could think of then is to focus on spiritual things, we walk away from temptation and sin. What does the world throw at us? TV, advertising, sport. You know, you're the most important person in the world. Used to be an ad on the TV. I think it was this MLC Super or something. Don't worry about the rest of the world. You're the most important. Please yourself. What happens when you hop on the internet? Starts flashing up all over the place. Ads for buy this, buy that. Save 50%, use this voucher code. Or whatever they throw up these days. The world is trying to tempt us. But Paul writes in Romans 8:13, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live." See, as a believer, we're no longer subject to sin. Amen? The Spirit helps you resist the pull of the flesh. We just read James 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves to God, resist, and then he will flee." You don't have to fight him off. It's not a battle. Just resist. We know in Romans 3:23 that it says, "All have sinned and what? And fall short of the glory of God." All have. Not just some. Not just the bad ones. Or the ones living in somewhere else. All. But remember in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide you the way of escape also, so that you can endure it. God gives you the tools. He gives you the help, the strength, and the answers to any situation and every situation you face. You are not alone. You have everything that you need for every situation. We just have to allow ourselves to think and allow the Spirit to work through us. And that's for the next point, number 3. It comes from verse 14. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, God can use the Holy Spirit to guide us through different ways. He guides us in many ways. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. See, God can speak to you through His Word, through dreams, visions, prayer, music and song. Could be a word. Someone might come up and say, "Brother or sister, I've got a word for you." Oh, any other means. I mean, it could be a billboard, anything. You could be reading the newspaper and bang, God speaks to you. See, we cannot control the Holy Spirit or how He acts, but how often do we try to? Pray, "God, do this today. God, help me do this now. God, change that person. They're annoying me. They need to change. They need your love." We need to follow His lead. How often do we get up in the morning and say, "Lord, What have you got for me today? What would you like me to be doing? Is there someone I need to speak to? Great, let me meet them. Before we get going for the day, allow the Spirit to lead us instead of us trying to lead the Spirit. In the Bible, we read how Jesus was led by the Spirit in Matthew 4. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Acts 8:29, we know that the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join the chariot." In Acts 16, we know the Spirit was leading Paul in his mission trip. That's where they passed through Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. I thought the Spirit was supposed to help us. Maybe sometimes he doesn't want us to go to certain places. God has his reasons. At the time, we may not understand it. I'm sure Paul was confused. Hey guys, we're here. Oh, we're not allowed to go in. The Spirit doesn't want us to speak. Isn't that what I'm here for? Did he stomp his feet? God, I'm packing up and I'm going home. I don't know. Could have been annoying. But he followed the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't always say, yes, do this. Sometimes the Spirit says, no, not yet. Are we following the lead of the Spirit? Yes, our heart's desire might be to do something, and God has called us to do something, but not every door is what he wants you to go through right now. Fourth point to help. Follow the light of Jesus. And that comes from verses 15 to 17. It says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." See, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, our comforter, advocate, the one Jesus helped to send us. He is the one who takes us from a place of fear to a place of love. In John 14:26, we read, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what? All things, and will remind you of everything I've told you." See, Jesus, he came, but he had to also leave so the Holy Spirit would come. John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So if you want to know the Father, you have to know the Son. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If we follow Jesus, we follow the light. John 12, verses 35 to 36 says, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light." We're all walking in the light here today, but are we following the light? 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Are you walking in the light? Are you accountable to someone else to keep you in line? Is someone checking on you? Hey, how are you going? How's your walk? You've been praying today? Do you have someone that you can catch up with who keeps you accountable to make sure that you are following the light of Jesus? And the fifth point, we could have many more, but I've just got five for you today. Pray. That's from verses 26 to 28. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What does Paul tell us? When we are weak, God is strong. Allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be strong in you and guide you when you don't know what you need to pray for. See, the Spirit can search our hearts, and the Spirit will pray according to God's will. And the Spirit will work all things for good, including the bad, for those who love him. Remember, God is in control, even if we find ourselves out of control. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How many of us can pray without ceasing? Anyone here pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? We're working on it, right? We're working on it. We're trying. We do our best. And I think prayer is less, though, about trying to change the world and more about changing us. Prayer is more about changing us than changing the world. But how much of our prayer time is spent trying to change the world? See, the more time we spend in purposeful prayer, the more like Jesus we become. Where was Jesus found early in the morning, most mornings, when you read about Jesus and his disciples getting up? He was out on the mountainsides or wherever he was, out in the garden somewhere, praying, communing with his Father, finding out what today holds, where he had to go, who he had to see. Whatever the Father needed to communicate, he was there. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Are you walking in the Spirit? It's a moment-by-moment question. It's not just something you ask yourself once when you get up in the morning or at lunchtime when you've had a busy morning. It's a moment-by-moment thing. And if you find yourself that you can say, "I don't think I am," and focus your thoughts on God's word. Walk, run away from sin. Resist the devil. Allow the Spirit to lead you. Follow Jesus' example, the light, and start to pray. This is a checklist. Go through it as often as you can throughout the day. And certainly be accountable to fellow Christians. And allow someone and allow other Christians to ask you, when they greet you. Are you walking in the Spirit? Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture to help us check how we're walking with you. Sometimes it's so easy to think that we're walking with you by doing things that we think you would have us do, things that we desire to do that fit in with your word. But are we really walking and allowing the Spirit to guide us? Are we really your true servants, children following a loving Father? So Lord, I just ask that you would constantly remind us and help us, keep us on that narrow path to walk in your light day by day, moment by moment, and also encourage others to do so, to keep them on the straight and narrow and follow your lead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.